Blog Talk Radio.
Because the Cherokees was not always there. So they were called Anindiga, which meant we the people. And all the tribes started naming themselves, like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we the people. Because that was the first line of the Iroquois Constitution. So when the Constitution was set up here, as a remembrance of who they are, most of the Native Americans in their own dialect named the tribe we the people. As a group, because we all had to unite to survive.
And attesting to this fact, Congress passed House Resolution 331, the Iroquois Confederation established the United States Constitution.
What they don't mention is that there were already people here, there was black people already in America, which are the parents of all those people from different parts of Africa.
So most of us were shipped from America to Africa and Europe, contrary to popular belief.
Indigenous people of this land, the Chinese came in, mixed in with them, and produced what you're calling Native Americans today or Indians. And the Caucasian gave them all our rights.
Right.
Now they're walking around saying Cherokee, Choctaw, Shinnecock, Cheyenne, and we're walking around saying African, African, African.
Do you want to claim one part or the whole thing, Khalid Muhammad?
We got to go up against the world and tell them who the hell we are and stop letting them tell us who we are. They didn't change who we are in the last 100 years, 5 different times. We were nigger, Negro, Afro-American, not African-American.
We have invented the nigger. I didn't invent him. White people invented him.
And as long as you keep saying you're Negroes and accept organizations like the NAACP, you will never have rights to what is rightfully yours. You with me? But the moment you start saying, I am an indigenous person, sovereign, I belong to a sovereign nation, they can't do jack with it. Because they have admitted in their textbooks that they came to America, and when they got here, people were already here. And all you're saying to them is, correct, I am of the people that was already here when you got here.
Later, the Negro is still languishing in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. Now, have you ever wondered what that passage meant from Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech? I did, and what I found was one of the biggest secrets that's not really a secret at all, except to many African Americans, is they are not descended from Africans. I know, I was shocked too, so much so that I asked Africans, and they agreed African Americans weren't Africans. If you don't believe me, Google Arnaldus Montanus America and see the people he saw in 1671. Read books like The Black American Handbook for Survival Through the 21st Century by Radine Amin-Ra, What Every African American Should Know by Cary Davis, and Africans and Native Americans by Jack Forbes. I just can't believe schools aren't teaching this stuff. What a travesty.
Alito, this is L. Rod Smith Bay, and you are tuned in live to another episode
of Indigenous Agriculture on our Talk Times of America network. Tonight we'll be reviewing previous night shows leading up to this point, dealing with agriculture, gardening, and cultivation of the land. And also there's going to be a special celebration of bringing in a new year, which actually begins today, March 20th, 2017. And as always, I'd like to thank the ancestors for allowing me to use this platform to give out the information to the people and to the world. Okay. Now, in all ancient indigenous cultures, the new year has always begun in the springtime or near or around the spring equinox, which is when the sun and the night and the day are both equal. They're about 12 hours each. So that's why it's called equinox, because it comes from Latin meaning equal. Day and night, okay? Also, go look in history. You'll find that the first time that January began, known as the new year, was in Rome in 153 BC, okay? So that was the first time it began. But prior to all that, 2000 BC, 1000 BC, 3000 BC, the new year was always celebrated around the time of the vernal or spring equinox. Okay. And early Roman calendars designated March the 1st as the new year. All right, this is why you can look at the Chinese Spring Festival, right? You can look at the green corn ceremony dealing with the indigenous people, right? Okay, so it's all prevalent in all ancient indigenous cultures, time of regeneration, growth, rebirth, and reproduction. Okay. Associating the new year with January 1st recently is a new modern phenomenon. New year was never celebrated or known on a day where there is barely any type of, you know, growth, to simply dead in the dead of so-called winter, then a new year, because there will be no new nothing. There will be no growth, right? So common sense, as always, using common sense and critical thinking, we find that the new year, just from a common sense standpoint, would never or could not have been on January the 1st, if you go by that time, if we're dealing with this whole paradigm of to the new year and the indigenous people, there was a special time, okay? This is a very special and sacred time for the indigenous people of the Americas and around the globe. And again, the vernal spring equinox in the northern hemisphere, okay, is the fall equinox in the southern hemisphere and vice versa. Okay, now equinox is at a memory day. And now to go into the etymology, as always, I stress this in every show. Just learn the true meaning, the original meaning of words. Okay, what is its true meaning? Not just a meaning that's associated with it, but what does it truly mean? And that is the study or the origin of words, which is known as etymology. Now, vernal or spring equinox, let's look at the definition on the origin of vernal. What is the etymology behind that? From Latin, ver, which means spring, or vernus, of the spring, okay? So you can see it can be traced from vernus, or ver, which means of the spring or from spring. And now dealing with indigenous Americans specifically, tribal life was simple and tied closely to nature. The emphasis of nature in the life of these tribes were demonstrated by their method for calculating time, which was based largely on lunar cycles. The first appearance of every new moon was a time of tribal observance and rejoicing. Okay, again, that's dealing with, you know, instead of being on a solar time or a solar paradigm dealing with the sun, we were more back then in the past, in ancient past, we were dealing and we were on a lunar cycle, okay? And again, it's that transition, you know, coming back, you know, back to that divine feminine energy, which is personified by the moon, that lunar, la luna energy, okay? And tribal year began at the first new moon of the vernal equinox, okay? They divided the year into four natural seasons, applying to each a descriptive designation. For example, for autumn, fall of the leaf. Tribal elders were the keepers of time. They numbered years by units of lunar months and seasons and commonly used winter to designate a span of year. So again, as you can see, previous shows are still coming to pass from this this quote that I've been reading from. This insert is from a book called The Indians of Mississippi. Okay, and you can go check that out. It's found in a book called The Indians of Mississippi, and I'm going to continue. But again, it was dealing with, we deal with time as based on a lunar cycle. Okay, how many months, how many moons were in a year? That was our system of calculating time, because in reality, the moon is more precise, calendar is more precise than a solar calendar, okay? But again, that was just that changing of divine feminine energy to divine masculine energy from a lunar to a solar calendar that we're under today. And even this calendar has been warped and flipped and numbers put in and taken out, you know what I'm saying, and leap years and, you know, fall, you know, messing with the time, okay, saving hours, et cetera. It's really a game that to control people, okay? It's a tool they use to control, as always. It's a systematic destruction, a systematic paradigm that is used to keep the indigenous people of the world on a lower level through ignorance. And to continue reading from this quote, they number years by units of lunar months and seasons and commonly use winters to designate a span of years. They constructed primitive calendars consisting of knots on cords of thongs and not sticks. Tribal leaders distributed these among headmen of the different towns to number the winters, moons, sleeps, days, and the travel, and the appointed time for gathering at a tribal council or for a campaign against the enemy. As each day passed, holders of the common calendar loosened a knot, cut a knot. Virtually everything in the Indian universe was expressed in religious terms. Tribal religion explained mystifying life processes, birth, puberty, maturation, and death, and natural phenomena. The Mississippi tribe religion system included a belief in a supreme being who through his agents created man and thing. And again, I just read an insert from a book called The Indians of Mississippi. Okay. By Ariel M. Gibson. So you can go look that up if you want to get more information and more clarity upon why and how the spring equinox or the vernal equinox. It's the beginning of the new year, the true beginning, okay? Because, again, like I keep telling you, this calendar that we are under today, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, and December, this is what is known as a commercial calendar. This is used for commerce, uses of commerce, okay? This is not the actual living or the true living calendar that you're supposed to live under as a human being, okay? This is the corporate calendar. And again, I have about 10 minutes left, so if you have any questions or comments, feel free to chime in. I'm always open to the truth. All right, as we see, no callers have called in, so that's my cue to continue the show. Okay, and dealing again with a lunar-based calendar and looking at all the indigenous cultures around the world and looking at their use of time, okay, like I made a reference to the Chinese or the Mandarin speakers, right, how their Chinese New Year, also known as the Spring Festival, in modern mainland China is an important Chinese festival, okay, and it's celebrated at the turn of the traditional lunar solar Chinese calendar, and it's also called the Lunar New Year or Spring Festival. So even today, up to this day, you still have indigenous culture still living under the correct and proper New Year, okay, which begins in March, you know, or February. Because the Chinese New Year, theirs begins in February, February the 16th, exactly. Okay. But again, you can still see it's a spring festival. That's when their New Year begins. Because that's when everything is in bloom and blossoming, and production, producing. Okay. So that concludes the little special, the New Year, vernal spring equinox. And now we're going to go into the previous nights, you know, dealing with a local food infrastructure and why it was so important that they had to eliminate it, right? Because like I said before, 60 years, 50 years ago, you know, we didn't have these kind of health issues. We didn't have these kind of disparities and ailments because we already had a local food infrastructure set within our community where we had different access points for fresh local food, right? But, however, that's not the way today. That's because it was a systematic agenda and it was used to eradicate that, to make you more dependent upon the system, all these distributors. Like I said before, even though you're a vegan or a vegetarian and, you know, you're transitioning off of meat, you're still dependent upon the same system that gave you that meat producing anything. You're just consuming, right? So, again, that's why I gave you tips that we can implement in real life, in real time, that can help your family and yourself become better and healthier. Okay. Previous shows, I said I would always drop a tip or drop a gem on everyone as far as agriculture and gardening. Like I said, every household, every family should always have a compost pile because that is essential in the creation and the production of soil. Okay, say that every household or family should have a fresh water source, be it a well or a spring or some type of, you know, fresh water river. Okay. And again, we're living in what is known as a food desert. For those who are not aware of what a food desert is, a food desert is an area where you must go out of walking distance, right? 1-3 to 5 miles at the most, fresh local fruits and vegetables. Yet on every block and corner, you will find a KFC, a McDonald's, right? That's not real food. So that is what is known as a food desert. Okay. And my goal is to create and build a local fresh food source and to eliminate and eradicate food apartheid, which is directly linked to the creation of the food desert. Okay? But like I said, this is a systematic agenda. This is created, intentionally done within the so-called various shades of brown community, within the quote-unquote minority community. Okay? Now, this concludes another episode of Indigenous Agriculture to the end of the show. There's about 1 minute left on the countdown. And I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in. Okay. And we will continue tomorrow at 10 o'clock p.m. Central Time Zone. And don't forget to hit that follow button just in case I might not be able to do that show at 10 o'clock. It may be 10:30 or maybe earlier. So make sure you hit that follow button so you can be notified and alerted, okay, of any new shows or any changes. With that being said, your identity is your most valuable possession, because without it, you are no one. Wanishi.
But the Cherokees was not.
You know, in Augusta, Georgia, I used to shine shoes on the steps of radio station WRDW. I think we started at 3 cents, and we went to 5 and 6. Never did get to a dime. But today, I own that radio station. You know what that is? That's Black Power. Right here.
Don't send me no other place. I don't know nothing. Talk about my home. Just give me some Georgia, some Alabama, some Mississippi, some New York, and some California, Texas, and some North Carolina, and some South Carolina, and Virginia, some Illinois, and some West Virginia, some Dakota, South Dakota, North Dakota. I can't name all the different places now. If I leave anybody out, don't get mad, because I just, you know, just a cat trying to keep it going. Some Ohio too, yeah. Some Indiana, Michigan. Yeah, I'm coming pretty good. Kentucky, Tennessee. Yeah. I'm getting it together, you know. Just give me a little time.